This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Bing, ding, bing, bing, ding, 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 ding.
Hello, and once again, welcome to Chill Filtered, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about somebody who's been very important to both Cole and I. We're going to be trying a couple of different whiskeys, but before we get to that, let's get down to just a little bit of business. Thank you for tuning in. Please hit the subscribe button on iTunes or Apple Podcasts app. And while you're there, leave us a rating or a review to help the show grow. You can do that on many different places, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate that. Also, if you want to help the show grow even more, maybe buy us a bottle, you can go to patreon.com/chillfiltered, and we would love you so much. That's the business. Here's the podcast. Cole, my friend, how are you doing today?
I am good.
Good.
It's been a cool week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, before we start talking
let's talk.
We should say that this episode is being released out of order.
It is.
Originally, this episode was supposed to be recorded and released in like three episodes. Mm-hmm. So we might have some weird overlap between this episode and the next two episodes.
That is true.
And some kind of like weird, there just might be some weirdness.
That's a great point.
Let's just go ahead and say the reason we're deciding to release this episode first before any of the other ones we've recorded so far.
Yep.
Is Dave Pickerel of Whistle Pig Rye Whiskey, of Blackened with Metallica, 14 years at Maker's Mark, among many other places and many other whiskeys.
Yeah.
He passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, we've talked about him. We almost got him on our show a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just were like, you know, he's done so much for the whiskey world and just for us, just by means of like amazing whiskey,
for sure,
that we wanted to kind of have a tribute to him on this episode and wanted to get it out as soon as we could.
Yeah.
So that's why between this episode and the next upcoming ones, you might find some weird, like, you know, what's the continuity errors.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, but yes, why has it been an awesome week?
Yeah, it's just been good. I'm in school and I am basically catching up. I had a lot of interviews and stuff like that, and it really took a lot of my time and priorities, but I'm finally like catching up in school, which has been good. It's really like, it's sadly encouraging to, I don't know, it's not sadly, but like, it's weird that that's like the best part of my week is that I've been catching up in a lot of ways. But yeah, I am chugging along. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Made a good hot sauce this morning from my peppers from the season.
You and those peppers.
I'll have to bring it over.
No, I won't.
But you said you would.
I might.
Yeah.
I actually accidentally had some hot sauce yesterday.
Ooh.
It was bad.
Taco Bell.
No, it was, I was at this costume party.
Oh.
A few days late of Halloween, mm-hmm. and somebody made meatballs. And they, you know, in a crock pot, they just like meatballs. And
but stewed it in
sriracha
or something.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And like I had a pig in the blanket and I just kind of dipped it in the sauce that was on my plate and ate it. And I was like, no.
are you not interested to learn more about spicy?
No, because it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
It's very like,
some people are just honestly like trying to prove themselves.
Taco Bell mild sauce is like lighting my face on fire. So I just can't handle it. I'll never be able to handle it.
Yeah.
So I understand that some people are like, you just got to learn to appreciate it. And I'm like, I don't ever want to learn to appreciate that pain.
Yeah.
So no, thank you.
Yeah. It's just a matter of like, I have found enjoyment in experiencing such a palette of spicy.
Sure.
But I am also not a fan of showing off in that respect, at least.
You ever watch the YouTube show Hot Ones?
Yeah, I really like that.
I do like
Chris Evans. Or what's his name? Chris Evans?
I think, no, not Chris Evans. He's an actor.
No,
it's something Evans. Josh Evans, I think, is his name. Yeah, Josh. I think it's Josh.
I bet you.
But, right, well, you go ahead and talk about.
I like the one with Terry Crews. That guy's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That guy. But yeah, so It's been a good week. Making hot sauce. This one I made is probably my best recipe yet, but I upped the spice on this one. Not that anyone cares too much, but I got some good hot sauces made at home. So what'd you find?
I'm still looking.
Okay, cool. So hot ones with...
I want to say it's Josh Evans.
No,
man.
It's not Josh.
No, you're right. It's Sean Evans. Okay. Right? Yeah. Is it Sean Evans?
Sean makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some good things. Yeah, check them out, listeners. Hot ones with Sean Evans.
Yeah, it's funny. What an interesting idea for a show. Because everybody has an interview show and blah, blah, blah. But like to then put the pressure on of like, okay, not only do you have to eat in front of the cameras, but you're going to eat, and every single item you eat is going to step up in the heat level, the Scoville.
Yeah, Scoville units.
Units. And it's just so, like, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how that interview would go, because the first one, I'd be, like, tapped out.
That's true.
Yeah. So
what's your opinion on Sean Evans? I think he's not the greatest interviewer.
Oh, I think he's one of the best.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really do.
I think he's just like catches himself as if he's like somewhat like out of it. And he's like, so.
No.
What do you think of this thing?
No. Yeah. All of his questions are like pre-planned.
Sure. But he like pauses too long sometimes.
I don't know. I really like his style of interview.
I like that you like that. Okay. Like I respect that.
I like that you like something I hate.
I may not agree with what you say, but I defend to the death your right to say it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that from something?
Voltaire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. Still gearing up for Phoenix.
That's right.
And getting ready for that. Yeah, we talk about that more in the next few episodes.
Yeah, you'll find out in the next few episodes, listeners. Yeah. But how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Is that not public yet?
It won't be.
It's
public. Oh, okay. I mean, I haven't explained what's going on with Phoenix until future episodes.
So, oh, okay. Yeah, see, listeners, it's
just as we said.
As we said,
Pajonix.
There's some weirdness happening with this episode.
Next episode, you'll find out. That will happen.
I thought we had previously talked about that, but no big deal. Did you just ask me something?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Oh, dude, I'm so good. I'm so great.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I actually am.
Okay.
So I had a really rough week at work this week.
That's right.
And then Thursday got pulled into a meeting room with my boss, and she was like, hey, come on. And she told me, I'm not meeting my numbers, which I knew.
For sure.
And so then she also said, there have been some complaints from people in management saying that, she said, some other people in management have said that it really seems like you don't want to work here.
And
like, it seems like you don't like this place. And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, I guess.
I just said, let's just say
when you hear that,
let's just
like,
say that her name is Monica.
Monica.
And I was like, so Monica knows about everything that's going on in my life, and you know about everything that's going on in my life, and she knows that I really struggle with depression at times. And I was like, Monica, you know that like I've got a lot going on right now, and I'm also severely depressed.
Yeah.
And so like, of course, I'm not a smiley person in general anyway. Like, I'm not going to come to work and be like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. Blah, blah.
Hey there, Nina in accounts payable.
And she goes,
payable.
Well, you know, you got to find something that's going to curb that and like and help fight those feelings and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I agree. But work is never going to be that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she disagreed with me. And so we don't see eye to eye on that. But no. So then Friday, so here's the thing. Being depressed, you know, I'm sleeping in as long as I can before I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And which means, you know, I live a few blocks away from where I work.
Yeah.
And so that means if I work at 7:45, I wake up at 7:15.
Yep.
So then I get to work still asleep basically. And like, I'm not working proficiently.
And then you zone out for about an hour.
Yeah.
Zone out.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
And so then so Friday I made the decision to actually wake up like an hour and a half before I actually woke up at like 5:30.
Wow.
Like got up and stayed awake.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just like had a knock it out of the park day on Friday.
I'm
so
glad
like,
to hear that.
Everything was good.
Yeah.
I had good numbers and had a good attitude, I guess.
Stellar attitude, Adam.
So when I get those talking tos where when people are like, oh, you got to be more happy here and blah, blah, blah. Then
like,
usually for like the next week, I'll like really sarcastically like talk to people and be like, hey, it's going to be a great day today. So glad to see you.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, But yeah, sometimes faking it like that actually does help.
You know, they say, I mean, like, smiling actually has a huge, not a huge, but a basically proven impact on mood.
Well,
even
duh.
If just a little.
Duh.
Even if faked.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it,
fake
boy.
Fake it till you make it.
All right. You ready to do this episode?
Let's talk.
Let's take a quick break. Hey, back from break here on Chill Filtered. And as we said earlier in the show that, you know, this episode is kind of a special dedication episode to Dave Pickerel, who was the master distiller and I believe founder of Whistle Pig,
yep,
one of the
definitely.
Founders. He was at Maker's Mark as the master distiller for 14 years and a few other distilleries. But most recently teamed up with Metallica to produce Blackened. Whiskey for them. It's a blend of straight whiskeys finished in black brandy casks. And I've actually heard a lot of good things about this, especially it being a Dave Pickerel product. We've got Whistle Pig 10, which is a rye, and then we have some Blackened here that we're going to drink. But before we get to all that, I figured we'd just kind of talk about Dave a little bit. Yeah. I'm actually going to read the life and times of Dave Pickerel that was put out today or yesterday by the dailybeast.com. Mm-hmm. This article was written by Noah Rothbaum. Its title is Legendary American Whiskey Distiller Dave Pickerel Has Passed Away. And so the reason I wanted to read this is there's actually a lot of good information about Dave and who he was and the work he did in the industry. And instead of like trying to, you know, read this and pick out little pieces and talk about them as if they're my ideas or whatever.
Yeah.
I just figured we'd read this and it'll be a good way for anybody who's listening who doesn't know about Dave to actually kind of realize why this is like a big loss. So again, this is from the dailybeast.com by Noah Rothbaum, legendary American whiskey distiller Dave Pickerel has passed away, remembering the distiller who created some of the top craft American whiskeys and reinvented the liquor industry in the process. Famed distiller Dave Pickerel changed the way Americans drink whiskey. On Wednesday, November 1st, he passed away in San Francisco. The cause is still unknown. He was in the city for the annual Whiskey Fest event. After spending 14 years at Maker's Mark, he left to run his own consulting company and set up or consulted on countless distilleries around the world. He also mentored the new generation of craft distillers. In recent years, he would spend most of the year on the road, splitting time between his main projects, Whistle Pig Whiskey in Vermont, Hill Rock in Ancrum, New York, and the old-fashioned distillery at George Washington's plantation in Mount Vernon. He also served as the distiller for Metallica's new whiskey brand, Blackened. The last time we spoke, while filming a video for Whistle Pig in Vermont for a campaign that the Daily Beast is creating, he was extremely excited to be working with the heavy metal band. Metallica was equally excited to be working with him. In fact, Dave's name is prominently printed on the bottle of whiskey, not Metallica's. Lars Ulrich, Metallica's legendary drummer, recently told me about how impressed the band was with Dave. When Dave was presented to us as a potential collaborator, It felt like he was sort of, it may sound cheesy, but the Metallica of that particular world. Last April, end quote. Last April, Dave even did a whiskey seminar at Ulrich's house for his friends and family. All of my intellectual friends are sitting there bombarding him with questions. I was just sitting back in the corner watching this thing unfold and watching the master at play and enjoying it. While Dave wasn't usually subtle, he was prone to wearing a broad-rimmed black felt hat. Like every picture you see of guy, he's got that hat on. And on occasion, a Boss Hog getup. Do you know who Boss Hog is, Cole?
I thought he was just talking about his brand. No, I don't know who Boss Hog is.
Boss Hog is a character from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh.
And the Whistle Pig Boss Hog is named after that. Okay, so on occasion, a Boss Hog getup, including a three-piece white suit to promote Whistle Pig's Boss Hog bottling. He was very often the smartest person in the room. He had grown up in what he described as abject poverty and had gone to West Point since it was free and offered him a chance to study science, which he loved. He played on the school's football team and later taught there before getting a degree in chemical engineering from the University of Louisville. Did I say it right that time? Whatever. Over the years, Dave and I did a number of different panels together at industry events, including a memorable one at Tales of the Cocktail about starting a distillery. While his personality could certainly fill a football stadium, and he could have no doubt handled the panel himself, he allowed the other panelists to speak and share their opinions. But no matter how difficult or technical a question we got from the crowd, Dave would have the answer. He was my go-to guy when the conversation stalled, and was always ready with a story or a funny quip. He was the life of the party, which seemed to surround him like a bubble no matter where he went. He was incredibly generous with his time and his knowledge. His enthusiasm for making spirits was evident immediately from anybody who ever met him. His advice and counsel to craft distillers around the world effectively took a small spark of creativity and created a movement that changed not only what we drink, but how we make it. Dave helped refine the craft movement and gave its spirits a professionalism that allowed it to actually compete against and sometimes best the old standards. While he made bourbon at Maker's Mark, his real passion was straight rye whiskey. He was one of the few people in America who believed that it could one day be a major category again, like it had been during the 1800s. He was proud of the technique he developed for controlling the mountains of foam produced by the fermenting of the notoriously difficult grain. When we last met, we talked about the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame, and I could tell he truly desired to be a member. We all knew it was only a matter of time before he was honored. I'm just sorry he won't be there when it surely happens. So that's the article about Dave Pickerel from thedailybeast.com, written by Noah Rothbaum. Title again, Legendary American Whiskey Distiller. Dave Pickerel has passed away. So right off the bat here, Cole, I want to talk about his love of rye whiskey.
Yeah.
Because I am also a lover of rye whiskey. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say I'm more of a rye guy.
Yeah.
I was reading either yesterday or today about why rye kind of became like America's whiskey right away.
Yeah.
And it actually, this is a quote from Dave Pickerel. He was talking about this. You know, the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that they were, you know, rejecting tea. Like they didn't want tea anymore. But because it wasn't just tea they threw over, they also threw over rum.
Okay.
And so it was all about rejecting the, you know, the English way of life. Yeah. Not only the unfair taxes and things like that, but just like, hey, we're our own thing now.
Yeah.
We don't want, you know, rum was an English drink. It was like that was the drink of, you know, English proper or whatever. Okay. And tea, obviously, yeah, we all feel like that. Everybody drinks tea, but
it was hugely,
you know,
British.
It's British. Yeah. And so like I said, rum and tea were both this British kind of staple.
Yeah.
And the whole like point behind it, whether you know, conscious or not, was like, we're rejecting your way of life. We're now, you know, they wouldn't say they were Americans yet, but you know, we're now what's separate, going to become America.
Yeah.
And so then very quickly after that, rye started being produced as the new, it really was like this, like, oh, hey, we're not British anymore. Yeah. We have this.
Oh,
created this.
There was much huger, that's not the word, much more huge was the rye scene before the bourbon scene.
Yeah.
Especially because Kentucky was really where bourbon was starting to take off, but Pennsylvania, well established before Kentucky, was huge on rye. And even like we talked about the Whiskey Rebellion in previous episodes, but George Washington himself had the largest rye producing distillery in the world at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool.
Absolutely. And so I think of, you know, I'm not super patriotic or anything. Mm-hmm. But I do like rebellion and I do like sticking it to the man.
Yeah.
So I already liked rye, but now that I kind of know that, like the fact that like that rye signifies like a big middle finger to, you know, the powers that be, I love it even more. Yeah. Like it's the greatest thing in the world now to me. So I will always be a rye drinker, and I do like that Dave Pickerel was like this Rye guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he left he easily could have started a bourbon distillery.
Yeah.
But he was like,
especially totally leaving Maker's Mark.
Oh yeah. You know? I mean, that's like, you know everything probably there is to know about making bourbon, and then he goes off. And Maker's Mark does not make any rye, and he left and made rye, which is kinda cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. You got anything to talk about?
I say we drink.
Okay. Well, before we drink, what do we always do?
Take a break.
Back from break here again on Chill Filtered.
That was a great radio voice.
Much better than your last fail.
Yeah. Well, so when we first came back from that break, guys, this is the second time we're doing this. I was like, back from break. All right. So here we are back from break on Chill Filtered. And as we said, we've got Whistlepig 10, which is a rye, and we've got Blackened. And so we're going to have some Whistlepig 10 here first off and taste that. You go ahead, Cole.
Pop it.
Yep.
Ooh,
that
hit
was
my face.
You did. You punched yourself. Ew. While you're pouring, I'm going to read something real quick. This is from whiskey.wikia.com, and this is the Whistlepig Rye Wiki entry. So Whistlepig Whiskey is located on one of the oldest farms in Vermont. Cultivation began here in the early 19th century in what was then known as the Hamlet Shaxboro. Steam engines replaced the little... I'm sorry, Cole's handing me something. Steam engines replaced the lifeblood of the town, a grist and lumber mill powered by the Lemon Fair River, which still meanders through the farm. And the town slowly dissipated until vanishing entirely in the 1930s. The farm remained in operation until 2006, when it was purchased and renamed by Whistlepig founder Raj Peter Bakta. Whistlepig Farm is being lovingly restored, a slow and painstaking process. Okay, I hate the way people write.
People write dumb.
Whistlepig Farm is being lovingly restored, a slow and painstaking process, in order to ensure that we produce the finest rye whiskey in the world. And then talks about Dave Pickerel here for a little bit. Whistlepig's master distiller, Dave Pickerel, a luminary in the world of whiskey, was one of the nation's preeminent master distillers. Before joining Whistlepig, Dave spent 14 years as Maker's Mark. They did that wrong. Maker's Mark. Whatever. Master distiller in Loretto, Kentucky. However, he then joined the Whistlepig team in order to create what he regards as his magnum opus, Whistlepig 100% straight rye whiskey. To this end, we are proud to report that our first whiskey... So this is kind of being written from Whistlepig's standpoint. Proud to report that the first whiskey, a 10-year-old straight rye whiskey, was awarded by Wine Enthusiast its highest ever rating for rye whiskey at 96 points.
No way.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, this is Whistlepig rye. It's a 10-year...
100%
straight rye 100%. Its proof is 100.
Yep.
The process on here says single malt. So that's all I got.
That's cool. Let's drink.
I've never had this. So
really?
We have a lost episode where we had
that was our first episode.
It was.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yep.
So our first episode we had Whistlepig Old World. Mm-hmm. Which is
12-year.
A 12-year finished in sherry cask.
Sauternay, right? Port and Madeira cask.
Okay, that's right. Mm-hmm. I've had that, and then I one time did have Whistlepig 15.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I had an ounce of that at Cask and Ale here in Madison, and it's really good. But I have not had the Whistlepig 10 yet.
Oh, it's classy.
Someday I would really like to try the Boss Hog 4.
Oh my God, the Spirit of Mauve one?
What's the new one?
Or that's the new one. The previous one was the Black Prince.
Yeah, that's the one that I really want. Yeah. I mean, I'd try either of them.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'm gonna give it a smell. Really kind of a lighter colored rye, honestly. Mm-hmm. Once it's in the glass, in the bottle it's a little darker
because
there's more concentration there, but in the glass it's actually pretty light for a rye.
So I already sniffed it. You ever had rye bread? I'm sure you have. You had a good Reuben sandwich, maybe.
I don't like Reubens, but I've had rye bread.
So good. So I'm smelling actually rye grain on this a little bit of oak and a little bit of honey. I warmed my glass, so it's a little more.
I get some apple and honey, to be
I'm
honest
I'm not
with
getting
you.
Apple, but there's something there that I really want to put my finger on.
That's quite a way to say that.
Yeah.
There's something there that I want to put my finger on.
Yeah, I can't. It's a little, maybe astringent is the word I'm looking for, but not in a very unpleasant way.
Kind of candy-ish to me.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. That rye candy we talk about often. But there's something there that's like woody to me.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but it's not exactly straight like that oak smell that I typically might pick up.
Sure.
I'm going to go for
all right, well, hold on. Yeah, okay. Let's take a drink real quick. But yeah. Before we do,
cheers.
This is to Dave. Thanks for everything you've done. And, you know, see you soon.
Yeah.
Clink. Clink, he says. So you go ahead and take a drink. You're right. There is something in that nose that, like, I want to be able to say what it is, but I can't.
It shows up in the palate, that same kind of thing, smoothed out perfectly by a nice honey and candy taste, but not too honey. Like, it's not like the honey we had in the previous episode. Where was that? What was the... Or actually, it won't be a previous...
See, listeners, it's confusing.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm... No, wait, what was it? The didn't we release the High West one yet?
Yes,
you're right. It was High West, the honey in the High West was very prevalent. This...
The honey in the High West.
Yeah, I remember that episode. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott the whole time.
That's right.
I...
When you put it in your mouth, it gets thicker.
Yeah, it gets
thicker. Expands.
It's getting worse and worse. I like it. I'm intrigued to see what it tastes like with a little water and ice. That it's not as sweet as the High West Rendezvous.
Not at
all. That's for sure. It's got more wood to it, for sure. I'm going to put a little drop or two in.
Yeah, it's got more wood. It also, and maybe this is that wood, but it tastes dirtier.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of that. Yeah, I can't fully put my finger on that one note. And it was in the nose, too. Are you catching both in the nose and the palate?
Yeah.
Especially
in the finish, actually.
Oh, yeah, I am. So, this one is a Canadian mash of 100% rye, 10 years age. And I believe there is zero, like, no special finish on it. It is a straight rye with no extra finish. So, I don't know what the char level is, but that'd be something I would be interested in finding out.
Actually, now that you've said char...
Getting a little burn or like actual burned taste,
smell so far with the drops in there.
You getting any like lemon citrus at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Almost like you ever had a
cinnamon.
You ever have a old fashioned where they light the spritz of lemon on fire?
No.
It's kind of a cool process.
I didn't know you could light lemon on fire.
So when you like spritz a lemon, a lot of oils release and they're like atomized, and so you can light it.
They're atomized?
Oh, they're atomized.
One of the worst things in high school science classes when I'd be dozing off is they'd be talking about, you know, neurons
and
particles and atoms, and they'd say atom, and I'd be like, huh, what?
Yeah.
Huh? It was the worst.
That's like me with other things, like coleslaw and stuff.
Coleslaw?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, it's like much spicier. Better.
Yeah, much spicier. The nose is definitely spicier.
Whew.
100 proof.
Ooh,
that is, but I like it better.
Yeah. You know, it still tastes dirty to me.
I like it. Sure, I get a little bit of that. In that oak-ish, wood-ish thing we were talking about. But I do prefer it with a few drops.
Yeah.
So far. It made it a little more candy sweet to me. I don't know what you're thinking in terms of the sweetness level, but
I don't know what I'm thinking either. I'm trying to break this ice.
I can't read or write these days.
I'm trying to drop a cube, but this ice is not cooperating.
Cube me.
I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't think I would ever drink this straight.
Okay. I have a feeling with this blackened thing, I'm going to love it with ice. That's my hypothesis. But
well, so I here's what I'm saying. I think that Whistle Pig is probably a really good cocktail whiskey.
But it's how much was this cost-wise?
$80.
Yeah. I don't know about $80. I mean, it'd be good. It's good. But
That's what I'm saying.
If I'm going to spend that much, I'm going to spend it on Rendezvous, sadly. All respect to Dave Pickerel.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, this does not seem like a sipping whiskey to me. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't.
Yeah, it would probably have really good notes that would be good in a Manhattan
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a Sazerac or something
not
like that.
Not that it needs to be disguised with other flavors. It's just that that did not help.
Did not improve it.
No. It tastes, honestly, to me, it tastes like straight up dirt.
That one note that we were getting amplified with ice.
100%.
Yeah.
I think the note is dirt.
That is a good, you finally
it's earthy.
Proved it to me that dirt is dirt. The note. It's not bad, listeners out there.
We're coming across like we are not enjoying it.
That's dirt. Yeah. And it's good. And it's got a nice sweetness, but the sweetness was much better with the water as opposed to the ice.
Yeah.
But that dirt shows up with the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Remember the last rye we had where it got thicker in your mouth with the ice?
Yes.
So didn't happen here. It's the same kind of consistency and viscosity as before. I don't prefer it to some other ryes. Remember when we had that 15-year though? That was good.
That 15-year
yeah.
is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And this 10-year, I forgot about these kind of notes. I'm not loving it, but
I don't hate it. I really do think this would be a good cocktail.
I agree.
I think
that dirt's showing up on the finish again.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's there. It's prevalent. Mm-hmm. We're coming across like we're not fans of this.
No, it's got its scene.
Listen, I'll say that I wish I didn't pay $80 for it.
Yeah.
I'll say that much.
Yeah, that's almost a $45 price.
Yeah.
But
I wonder when this first released how much it was.
That's true.
Because I bet you that the Boss Hog winning with the Whiskey of the Year or whatever it was mm-hmm. probably upped the price of everything they were doing.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Maybe. But I have to say, I've had the 12-year, I've had the 15-year, I've had the Old World, the 12-year, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And this is least of those three, at least.
I mean, I've had all those too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dirt. It's like grassy dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's not
But
bad.
Yeah, I would drink it for sure.
It would not be my first choice
to sip
on for a relaxing night. But I will be interested to have some cocktails with it
mm-hmm.
and see how I feel.
Any cocktails you're thinking of off the top of your head?
No.
Let me think. I would do a whiskey sour with this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of got that little tang at the end that would work well with a sour.
This isn't a cocktail, but I would like to taste it with Dr. Pepper. I actually really like rye and Dr. Pepper. It's really good.
That's interesting. I really want to try that. We got to do a cocktail episode.
I know.
Well, I hate to copy another great whiskey podcast, but the podcast.
We talk about all the time.
No,
this might
great.
As well be
they're
the
awesome.
Podcast. The
repping the podcast.
The podcast fan podcast.
So they did an episode where they each brought their own custom.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah.
And we should do that. We should each bring in our own, or at least one of our best cocktails, whether it be a variation of a standard.
Sure. Let's try some of this Blackened. And while you're getting that ready, I'm going to read a little bit about Blackened mm-hmm. American whiskey. It is bottled by the Sweet Amber Distilling Company. The ABV is 46%. This reviewer from whiskeycast.com gave it a 95 points.
Wow, that's a big points.
This may be master distiller Dave Pickerel's most controversial whiskey yet, created in collaboration with the members of Metallica and the sound engineers at Meyer Sound. Hmm. Pickerel blended together several different styles of whiskey sourced from various undisclosed distilleries, then finished them in charred or blackened European oak brandy barrels. During the finishing process, the barrels were blasted with low-frequency black noise in playlists created by Metallica's four members to create vibrations in the liquid and alter its flavors in unique ways with each playlist. These tasting notes are for Batch 83, and I believe we have Batch 82.
We have 82, yeah.
So, who knows? And whether you believe the sound made any difference in the end, there's no denying that it's one hell of a whiskey. So then he just goes on to talk about the notes. I won't read those because we like to get our own. But yeah, so very interesting that they tried the whole sound wave disruption thing into the whiskey. I wonder how many people are trying stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, we had one time on Whiskey World News where we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying you can use sound waves to speed age whiskey. And
yeah, we talked
who
about
knows it. If that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're warming yours up.
Yep.
What
do you think of that nose? I got a little whiff, and it was interesting.
Right off the bat, I smell maple syrup.
Okay. So here's my opinion typically on brandy cask finished bourbons.
They usually say they're too sweet.
Too sweet. Yeah. Too sweet. And I'm a sweet guy. I love sweet, but they can be overpowering.
You're such a sweet guy.
Such a sweet guy. That was a nickname in college.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. That's not typically the nose I'll get off a brandy cask finish. What was the one that I can think of?
I'm just really getting maple syrup pancakes. So,
here's one. It's not a so this doesn't even say it's a bourbon or a rye. So it's kind of an American whiskey, mixture.
Kind of like,
and it's
what,
a blend.
Stranahan's would be maybe.
Yeah. Well
Stranahan's, I guess not,
is probably
blend,
not the best.
So.
What would be a good one? Like Woodford put out a malt whiskey,
sure.
But I imagine, so actually I can't say a malt whiskey is straight. So if it's straight, it's going to be a rye or bourbon.
Yeah.
So it's a mixture of rye and bourbon is what I can assume.
You know, if Dave Pickerel's involved, you got to believe there's rye in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I can actually smell that a little bit on the nose. But yeah, like, for example, Brené is not an American whiskey, but it is a malt whiskey finished in cognac limousine cask. And that is really cough syrupy, typically.
Oh, my gosh.
Oversweet. Is it good?
So
I'm going to sit while you...
Woo! Oh man, the finish lasts forever. Right off the bat, I wasn't impressed, but then suddenly it's a burst of apples.
That hit my face.
Wow. Are you getting the apples that are just like...
But like, not Granny Smith.
No.
Like, Golden Delicious.
Okay.
Yeah. Gala apples. Or what's some of the honey melon or whatever.
I'm just fine with just saying apples.
Honey,
I don't
crisps.
Need to break down the type of
but
apple.
But like, there's a big difference between Granny Smith and like Golden Delicious.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm getting that too. And you saw my face when I like finally got hit with it. I'm like, ooh. Yeah.
Well, that's what I did too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Best brandy finished whiskey I've ever had.
It's really good, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The finish is the best part.
You know, here's the thing. I think this would be amazing in cocktails, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'd put this in a old-fashioned for sure.
Mm.
Yeah. And
definitely.
Yeah, I would. I like it. And to be honest, I'm very critical of brandy cask finish. And this is the best one I've had. It's not overwhelming like the other ones. It's different. Don't get me wrong. And that... We talked about you even mentioned the charred brandy cask finish.
Yeah.
That's probably the difference here. And I respect Dave for putting up this different, you know, like brandy casks are not charred. Mm-hmm. And so he did something different in taking what was once a brandy cask and then turning it into a like charred barrel, like an American barrel, basically. And he made something different out of it. You just sipped the one drop of water in it, and mm-hmm. you just gave it an interesting face to it. What do you think?
Oh, I just coughed.
Oh, okay.
That's all that was. It didn't change too much for me. It actually tastes pretty, maybe a little bit mellowed out, but otherwise it's pretty similar.
Samesies. I don't think I prefer it with a little bit of water.
It was better straight.
Yeah, it was definitely better straight. But you never know.
Those
with
flavors
the ice.
Really came out. When it was straight.
But
is this chill filtered or not? It's getting cloudy with the ice, so I don't know.
I don't think it mentions on the bottle,
at least. It
doesn't
mention at all.
It'd be cool if they always had to. Yeah, no such... but I imagine usually when you don't put chill filtered on it, or non-chill filtered...
It probably is.
It's probably chill filtered.
Yeah.
Are you getting that the swirliness?
I mean, it's getting cloudy in here, so I don't know.
Definitely. I think it was more cloudy with the whistle pig.
Yeah.
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 But... mixing it around right now. What are some of the notes you're getting? I'm getting a very fruitiness, not bananas, but almost close to bananas. I'm getting grapes.
Okay.
Strong grapes. Which
close
makes sense.
To bananas, so grapes.
No. On top of that is some grapes.
So maybe some plantains?
Yeah, maybe. No. Actually,
I've never had a plantain, so.
I would say plantains because they're a lot less sweet. No, I mean that. Like, they're a lot less sweet and they're a little more like.
You know, with the ice in here, that smell is just, it just reminds me of fall all of a sudden. A
little bit. So the grapes make a little sense with the charred brandy casks because brandy is a grape based spirit. And you're swishing it around and taking. What do you think? Interesting nose on the ice.
It's hard to say. When it was in my mouth, when I held it in my mouth for a while, I actually enjoyed it. But once I swallowed, it like everything immediately went bitter.
So with the neat, we both agree that the finish was the best part. Sadly, with the ice, the finish is the worst part, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so interesting. I've had nothing like this before.
It's pretty good.
I prefer it to the Whistle Pig.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
Which is something to be said because it's cheaper.
Which is something I'm shocked about.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to really love that Whistle Pig.
I thought I was going to hate the Blackened. Not hate it, but like really.
It's actually pretty good.
Downplay it. Okay.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
So next week, listeners are going to hear our episode that is featuring a special. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say what it is, but a special whiskey.
Yeah.
Blackened to the special one.
I would take the special one.
I would too. I would too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
But yeah,
We can't give away too much.
Yeah, and I won't give away too much. But I would say that don't let this critical review determine what you think of Dave Pickerel's stuff. And I don't mean that.
We haven't been that critical.
Yeah, yeah,
we didn't super care for Whistle Pig 10.
Yeah.
We still recognize it's a good whiskey.
Oh, for sure.
We both really enjoyed Blackened.
Yeah. And I've heard like fantastic things about the Boss Hog.
Yeah.
Especially the later releases of it.
Yeah.
Sadly, the Boss Hog, the fourth version?
Boss Hog
the,
5.
The Mauve one?
It's retails like 500. 500.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's amazing.
It's got to be.
I've heard amazing things about the Black Prince.
You know, here's the thing. I think one of the reasons, and this is a good way to wrap up because we're running short on time.
Mm.
I think one of the reasons that Dave Pickerel was as lauded as he was in the world of whiskey and so respected, it wasn't just the fact that a lot of the stuff he put out tasted great.
Yeah.
It's that he was an innovator and he tried things. And the thing about innovators and people who try new things, just because they are innovators and they're trying to do something different, doesn't mean that everything they produce is going to be this standout, amazing thing.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people, inventors or businessmen or whoever, who have tried to do something differently than the norm and it fails. And,
great point.
Or it doesn't fail or just, you know, it just doesn't quite meet expectations, whatever.
You learn.
But the thing is that they grow and they learn from that. And then eventually they release things like Whistle Pig 15 and Whistle Pig Boss Hog and the Whistle Pig Farm Stock and things like that. And then it opens opportunities to collaborate with other people like Dave did with Metallica. Yeah. The fact that he had such a name in the world of whiskey that it crossed over into other aspects of popular culture, such as music.
Yeah.
That's incredible. When you Google Blackened whiskey, a huge portion of the websites are music websites that are talking about it. It's not just whiskey websites anymore. So, and that expands the world of whiskey to more than just people like you and I who are already into it. It opens up the market to people who may have never thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to go try and buy a bottle of something that might be considered nicer or whatever. So that is really the legacy of Dave Pickerel is that not only did he provide people like you and I who are already into whiskey with great products, but he did stuff for the industry of whiskey to bring it to other people who would have otherwise never been into it. So, like, to me, that is why we applaud Dave Pickerel, yeah, and why we're going to miss his innovation.
Yeah, even without the Metallica stuff, he was a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
In the industry. Like, you look at the greatest master distillers of all time, and they usually stayed with one distillery their whole career. Mm-hmm. And this guy, like, spread out and just influenced so many micro distilleries, influenced Whistlepig immensely, and influenced, I mean, I'm sure he had an immense impact on the Maker's Mark, product. And yeah, total respect for that guy.
He will be missed. But you know, the thing is that his presence is going to be present in the whiskey world
for
years and years and years.
I mean, even his consulting, like, exactly. So many of those people will be so influenced to even impact people in the future.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's like the Beatles kind of,
yeah,
where, you know, the Beatles haven't been around since 1969, mm-hmm, as a band, but their influence has, you know, lived on for 50 years.
Yeah. How many bands say they were impacted by the Beatles?
Exactly. You know? So for Dave Pickerel, there's going to be, you know, in 10, 15 years, you poll, you know, the master distillers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to go, oh, yeah, my biggest influence was Dave Pickerel.
Yeah.
Like, I looked up to that guy.
Super nice guy.
Yeah. So this one's for Dave.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in. Next week, you've got a special episode featuring a special whiskey that we're not going to tell you what it is.
Yep.
But then after that episode, we've got Yellow Spot coming up. And then, Cole, what's the one after Yellow Spot?
One after Yellow Spot's going to be Laphroaig 15 200th Anniversary Special Edition, Limited Edition.
Right? Awesome. Okay. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope listeners are looking forward to the next few episodes. And most of all, I hope that our love of Dave and our love of spirits lifted yours.